Thanks, Jerry. Now the second session started, as Jerry mentioned. So I am speaking for the topic Seasonal Climate Forecast Improve Food Security for Qatar. Now, I come from the University of Western Sydney, but we also have three other colleagues from Australia, Phil Moody, the soils person, Kev Coughlin is a water person, and Noel Vok is an extension guy. And we do have people from Qatar, is an ag economist, and also we have the soils crop person from an industry, large complex, agricultural industrial complex, so Al-Sulaitan agricultural industrial complex. And Ahmed is one of the key information providers, an interesting person, and the knowledge, lots of knowledge. He used to work for AVRDC, ICARDA, huge experience from the region, okay, Ahmed. And also we have Professor Ipek, he's from Food Scientist, and we got two colleagues from Trent University, Qatar, the modeling and economics background. Okay, this particular project, just about nearly 1 year in the going, we just submitted the second progress report and has been accepted. And this is funded by Qatar National Research Fund. And just a brief, well, couple of sentences on them, or a few seconds on that. I came to know about this funding only recently, and I've been there now a few times and realized that Qatar is interested, motivated to build the science and research and education program. And one of the things very fascinating was the number of women participation in their education programs. And the last few years is fantastic in the education and research conferences. I have attended one of the national conference last year, and it's coming again next few weeks. I'm not going there. And say world top leaders in science, where some of the leaders or Nobel laureates from US and UK and Japan were there. And so what the message I'm saying there, and this is what the message I'll pass through this presentation next few minutes, is they are opening up for a number of reasons, not only for soccer that's coming up, but there are other things coming up as well. So please think, and if you can contribute, and they have funds, money, but they need some skills build up, and resources and science. And they are investing funds, for example, the food security is one that's my interest, is their money. But they also know that they need to eat food. And they also know that they're risky to getting in security. I understand they don't have even 2 days security, secured water for them. Okay? So that's why they're investing. And they invest money, for example, recently $500 million in Australia. And buying properties and growing crops, land, and they're what they need. But it's mostly for trade, as I understand that, okay? But the food security is the potential aspect. If they need, they can import food, but mostly they are trading, okay? That's the background. And so our project, as you say, I think that is a seed kind of area, one of the earlier food security projects they have funded. They funded last few years a number of other projects, but in this area, they've started investing, as I could see. Okay, so given our background and interest, obviously you can see that they say there are only three problems. One is temperature. You know that the climates, harsh climates. Okay? Related to that is the water and the soils. Right? So there's no other problem. There's only three problems, right? That's the address. So our project is trying to see how do you evaluate alternative cropping systems, if at all we need to grow there, and then very important that you understand this. Of course, we do try to understand farming and soils, but most important, we realize about the market. And as you can see, the seasonal climate forecast implications, few questions came up. Economics, market. Now, we're trying to understand how that is working in that particular little country in terms of populations and area, but hugely important for the region. They're trying to influence the kind of food habit with the growing international populations coming in that region. And this is the background we are trying to work on. Now, how does seasonal climate forecast fit in this particular work? I gave a lot of thought in that, and with our team, and also a few other people. We do know that they have only 18 million. I showed a couple of slides, but I just want to give you a background. I was talking to some of the prominent people and say the rainfall, those who do not know exactly where Qatar is, they would not believe that, well, they know it's dry and all that. It is only less than 80 millimeter rainfall, and that happens in December, January, February, March kind of thing. Okay? So what seasonal climate forecast for rainfall we can do there? What can you do? Right? But the temperature. Okay. The temperature is very important. And I was very pleased to hear from Peter McIntosh and other people that the skills that we have are better for temperature than the rainfall. So I think there's a hope and promise. And this is what, and as you know, they have been growing open field crops as well, vegetables, but also the greenhouse, and quite highly advanced technologically, some of the inputs, the site that we have, Ahmed, representing the commercial production system, and that's, you're interested to see how they can maximize the energy use efficiency, water recycling, and all that kind of background. And from that background, we're trying to see, of course, we can use long-term the climate data and all that, and also there's a availability problem, as you have seen, the how much data is available even from the past. We're trying to understand that. And then, of course, this is one kind of focus that we can do. Now, I think the background is just any of these things. What research, and mostly we're trying to adapt existing tools that we have. For example, we have looked into AppSim series-based models, but we all know they are very good tools, but they are data hungry, right? And so we are concentrating at this time aquacrop, one of the FAO, but simple water-driven model temperature information can be put, and we are trying to adapt that bit. And of course then what we're going to look into is basically is the temperature and water-driven, and of course the market aspect. So hence, we, as you mentioned in the team, we have economists, soils, climate, and agronomy people. And we're addressing, as you said, Qatar and also Qatar-owned farm in Australia, which they have operated 14 different farms. Now, these are the simple, well, kind of model framework. Like anybody who wants to work with this kind of system, like in my farmer presentation, one of the areas that we thought right from the beginning, where and how can we use seasonal climate forecast information in the understanding the soil constraints, we do know there's a problem in soil constraints, so we are using the soil constraint management analysis package developed in Australia. One of my colleagues, Phil Moody, and some simple other models. So the idea is ultimately how could we use our climate soils information for some of the decision makings, including the policy people. When you say policy people, we learned over time, the last couple of years, the Qatar government established what they call the National Food Security Program to identify the kinds of crops they want to grow, and depending on the consumer preferences. But that particular work has been done, but now they established a new committee from this year, Technical Committee for the Promotion of Private Sector Engagement. Okay, they identified some crops they want to work on in the country and the market trade, but they also want to engage the private sector. And one thing that interests us because of our long-term, as you say, the bias in our thinking of agrometeorological network that we do know, that if you get those information, it's just not getting that information, but how do you work with the people and communicate? Okay. So, and with the advent and availability of the new technologies, and we have been working on that in that direction to link with the extension people there, but it's not, I'm not going into details on that, it's not that easy to set up, but we're working. In the last visit that I had a month ago, with the people, right, the disciplines, meeting, discussing, strengthening the network information. Now, some of these, as you say, seasonal climate forecast information, I know, as I mentioned before, it will be difficult for that few locations that we're going to work with. We identified five locations in Qatar, small country, but five locations. But it's not, it's not really very easy to say that again. But I am enthused by talking to a few people in Australia, for example, working in this field, including Peter McIntosh, that there are opportunities that can be used, some of the global models that's available for that particular region. Okay, not necessarily you need to get exact information. If we get, it will be good in terms of comparison and evaluation, but we can start working on using different things. Like this particular graph, of course, you can get SOI figures and can use it for both, as you say, I have interest both in Australia and in Qatar because of their food security issues. So this particular graph I just downloaded from Roger Stone, who was to be the first speaker, and his website to the people and the group and the University of South Queensland. Three points that most of you would know, that SOI phase system indicates low probability values in eastern and central Queensland, much of the Australia for the next 3 months, as I understand from that particular prediction systems. SOI phase is currently classified as consistently negative phase, so they are worried about, particularly Roger Stonehan spoke to, that he is worried, and they, next, it can be the dry in part of Australia the next few years, like 1995 to 11 to 17 kind of thing. Okay, and here is again some of the figures from the, what interests me is we can use some of that published information for the interest not only in Australia that we have, but also the countries, as I said, about in Qatar and Middle East areas. Okay, so the world rainfall forecast based on negative phase of SOI during October, November, which is probably where we're headed. This is what Roger Stone believes and his group. And then, of course, he's suggesting that look at the ENSO signal that we showed in the previous thing from the Pacific Ocean temperatures. Again, from his, as you say, USQ and the group from the USQ, they are showing some of these rainfall distribution figures for median rainfall, some of the European Centre medium weather range forecast information, and we can use that stuff for this region if you wish. This is what I'm just thinking, what can be done, where can you get some of the informations back, okay? Okay, this is the one Peter McIntosh provided us just before coming on and discussing with him, how you have listened to Poema and how, what are the skills it has for the little country, which is Qatar, right, for that locations. And so what Peter did for that country is, well, some information is that he used the December to March rainfall data, and the starting date used the 1st December, and he used the scale during 81 to 2008, and he used that the March analysis precipitation a program from the ground truthing, which would have been better if we had the actual data. And we are working towards that. We got few years data so far, but in piece of paper, different sources. And as you say, this is the kind of activities we need to do and continuing on, so getting some data. Okay. Say the Poema scale of 0.4, but yeah, and can be improved. But what is, as I said in the beginning, I'm looking forward to get something done on temperature. And Peter said, can be done, we'll do, hopefully, the next few weeks. And and see what happens and skills. So the most important thing, as you can see for our this work, is we need to get some of this information, and particularly the temperature one. This is what I'm interested in, and see those impacts, as I mentioned by previous speakers, about the growing season. If you get the temperature right, for when can you grow a particular crop? And other thing is the countries where Qatar is interested for their food security, where they're investing money for the trade. So not only the seasonal climate forecast for Qatar, but seasonal climate forecast for Australia and other countries like India, they invest money. So that information can be useful for food security issues. And this is what we intend to do. Thank you. I gathered, we were talking to particularly Ahmed and his farm owner thing is, for example, they are talking about the fresh vegetables supply to the market throughout the year. Okay, that's happening now. Cucurbits, for example, are going to grow. And the interest is, if the temperature goes up, generally you get a shorter season, right? So can they produce a particular, they know that there's a demand for a particular type of fruit, vegetables in this case, in the market, the prices. So they are planning to use some of these tools to fit in where they can meet the demand by changing some management practices. So hence, it's interesting to look into the temperature and phenology aspects and what changes. So one is actual temperature data they have and see whether or not they can adjust, modify the planting times, even though the greenhouse open field, but also to meet the, whatever there's a need in the consumer markets. This is what I gathered and this is what I'm interested to do.
Thank you.